We heard in the epistle and the gospel today themes about food, fasting, for obvious reasons. We're about to begin what's called the Great Fast, or Lent. Great Lent, or the Great Fast. In the epistle, we heard about some who eat only vegetables. The weak eat only vegetables. What? That's the hardest thing to do, isn't it? Well, we have to go back to the context of this epistle. Paul was writing his letter to the Romans. And in the church in Rome, as in the churches of Galatia, there was a lot of Judaizing. They were starting to circumcise their boys, starting to keep kosher, wearing their yarmulkes just right, starting to keep the Sabbath. This was called Judaizing. This was the first heresy the church had to fight, because the early church was almost thoroughly Jewish. And so when the Jews accepted Jesus of Nazareth as the Messiah and were baptized into Him and became part of the church, one of the things they brought in the door with them, two bags, circumcision and the kosher laws. Now what do we do with these? And so what they did is they wanted to impose those traditions from the old covenant onto the Gentiles who were just starting to come in and make it very difficult for them. It was a stumbling block, a yoke to the Gentile converts who were coming in, who were being told by the Jewish Christians, who were often the deacons, the priests, the bishops, and the majority of the congregation, if you really want to be really a full Christian, yes, baptism is required, of course, into Jesus, but don't forget the Torah. And this is why St. Paul says in his letter to the Romans and his letter to the Galatians, we hold that a man is justified, made righteous before God by faith. By faith. That is, faith in Jesus Christ versus the works of the Torah. Translated works of the law in English, or in some people's mind, just works. And then, of course, you get off to a Lutheran misunderstanding of the text of it's what you believe versus what you do. But that has nothing to do with the context. The churches of Galatia and the church of Rome were adding, as Paul says, something to the gospel. That if you are baptized into Jesus Christ, you are confirmed, you're chrismated, you receive His body and blood, what more do you need but to walk in His ways until His second coming? The Jews said, well, it's nice to have a little extra just in case. What if it's still important to God to be circumcised? Wouldn't it be nice to just in case, kind of a little backup plan? What about the kosher laws? Just in case God's still upset about ham sandwiches. And this was a huge stumbling block for the early church. This was the first major heresy it had to fight off. And so in the church in Rome, you have Jewish Christians who are eating only vegetables. So what does that have to do with all this? In the major cities, in Rome, Corinth, and the other places, when a Jew lived outside of Israel, there was no possible way he could be sure that the food he would buy in the marketplace was safe. It had not been offered to an idol. The Gentiles, you know, the pagan Gentiles, they were very pious. They would offer anything they could, just about anything. They worshipped anything that moved, except for swine. And so they would offer everything they had. And so a Jew typically in a major city outside of Judea would abstain from meat. Not for health reasons, but he was worried he might eat food that had been offered to an idol. And meat most likely would have been offered. And so as these Jewish Christians in the church with the Gentile Christians, there's another conflict. The Jewish Christians are concerned about the Gentile Christians eating meat from the marketplace. What if it had been offered to an idol? And so they are weak in their faith in Jesus Christ, and they are continuing to eat only vegetables. Right? But what does St. Paul say to them? He says, look, that's enough fighting. He says, the man who abstains from meat does it for the Lord. And the man who wants to eat the meat, he does it for the Lord. So that's enough. Love each other, okay? Move on. And what does that have to do with today? Obviously, we begin the great fast today. And for 40 days, we're going to be abstaining from certain foods. Now, as I've explained to you before, and we'll talk about this some more throughout Lent, remember that the purpose of fasting is not to make God smile. You can ask any theologian out there. They'll all tell you the same thing. God is immutable. He does not change. That's good news for us. He's always a loving Father. God does not change. But you do. And that is why we fast. Fasting is giving up of things which are part of our daily life, which are good. Right? If there's something you're going to give up which is evil, good. Sure, get rid of that too, okay? But normally when we're talking about fasting, you're giving up things which are good things in your life. Meat. Lamb. Oh, that's good. Right? Kidney. Not bad. Huh? You're going to give up these things. Give up these things. Why? Because God is pleased when you are miserable? No. God doesn't change. What's happening? When you are at the cafeteria at lunch in your workplace, or you're at home and you're trying to make a meal, and you have to make a decision at the cafeteria of the meal. Am I going to make myself a ham sandwich, or am I going to have a salad? Or you're at the cafeteria. Am I going to have one of those veggie burgers? Which isn't too bad. It's cooked in the grease on the same griddle. It tastes the same. Probably worse for you. But I'll have one of those veggie burgers. Making that decision. Making that choice right there. Well, there's nothing wrong with the big, juicy, greasy burger. Except your cardiologist might have an issue with it. But other than that, it doesn't change God and your relationship to God. But you making that choice. That little choice. What you're doing on a daily basis is having an opportunity to exercise your willpower in little ways. And this is why with fasting, you always want to start it with something very small. You don't want to fail. If you fail, you get right back up and keep going. But you want to always make sure that you don't try to take on too much in your fasting during Lent or any of the great fasts. You want to have a daily opportunity to make a decision to not do something. And what that does is it strengthens you so that when you're tempted by something that is actually evil, some sinful activity or something going on in your life around you, you can look at it and say, no, that's not good for me. I choose not to do that. Now, how can you do that unless you've exercised? That takes willpower. And unless you strengthen your willpower, you cannot resist sin. You say, I struggle with this sin or that sin. Then what that means is we need to fast more often in our life. Now, some of you might be on special diets. Elderly. Sick. There are some people who are already keeping the great fast. I know people who are strict vegetarians. Right? No meat, no dairy. What should they do? Well, they're already working on their willpower, right, in their daily life. But you can also give up other things. It doesn't have to be just food. You can resist a certain activity. Maybe you are a compulsive emailer. Or you are a compulsive whatever. Every time you get in your car, you turn on the radio station and you love listening to it. You can't miss it. Well, maybe for Lent, try not turning on the radio. Right? Or try, rather than listening to this, try listening to something that's maybe a little better for you that you typically wouldn't listen to. Right? Maybe put in one of those CDs. Every time I get a chance, as you know, I hand you one of the CDs of our church music. And I say, put it in your car and play it. Maybe pop it into your car CD for all of Lent and let that play. Right? And what that will do is it will help you. Maybe in the evening when you come home from work, if you're in the habit of always turning on CNN or whatever, maybe, husbands, when you get home, come in the kitchen and say, honey, is there anything I can do to help? Right? And maybe your wife might say, no, honey, go. You're tired. Go sit and watch CNN. The Budweiser's sitting right there by the table for you. Now you're tempted. Maybe I should. There's nothing wrong with it. Well, no, honey, I want to help. Give me the dishes. Right? What are you doing? You're also benefiting your family and you're helping your wife. Or maybe you're in a situation where it's the reverse. Maybe your wife comes home exhausted and you're home before her. Right? How can you help her? How can the husband help the wife? How can you help the children? Figure out something, a daily activity. If food is not something that's easy to do for your circumstance, where you live, maybe the family in which you are in, whatever, pick something else out. Something that is part of your daily life. And then choose to set that aside for Lent. Right? Now, as I said, if it's a sinful activity, you say, I'm going to stop doing this all of Lent. Okay, good. Please, put that aside. But then we're talking about doing some sort of a fasting, something, giving up of something, to regularly, in a very small way, strengthen, exercise that willpower. And that's the purpose of Great Lent. That's all it is. That's the purpose of fasting. So we can prepare ourselves, be better prepared for coming Pascha, right? When we will renew our baptismal experience, right? It's the resurrection. It's our baptism all over again. And let's prepare ourselves like a catechumen coming for baptism. Let's prepare ourselves like a catechumen preparing for baptism on Holy Pascha so that we can fully celebrate Pascha in all of the grace of God. Remember also during the Great Fast to work on not only food, giving up of something, but prayer and almsgiving. Right? Think of something maybe you can give. In some way you can maybe increase your assistance to those around you who are in need. Maybe you increase your donation to the church. Or maybe you decide you're going to write a monthly check or maybe a weekly check to a religious organization that is in need. Maybe you decide you're going to set aside some money each day or every week or to give to the poor that you see on the street. Giving away something. Get rid of stuff. Give it away. That little exercising helps us to detach from this world so that we don't think it's in this world that we find our joy. It is only in Christ. And then also, of course, in our prayer life. How do we increase our prayer life? Start out very simply. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, the sinner. Make that a regular practice. If that's not part of your daily routine, when you wake up in the morning, say that prayer. When you go to bed at night, before you close your eyes, you say that prayer. If you already are doing that, then there are all sorts of other ways, of course, you can improve your and increase your prayer life. We have, I noted in the bulletin there for you, some extra services during Lent. Starting this Wednesday, we will be not only having the Bible study, which some of you have come to, but we'll also be having Vespers. So Vespers at 6 p.m. here in the church, and then followed by a short Bible study here in the church, and a meal together afterwards, every Wednesday evening. Those of you with children especially should try to come. It's a great family opportunity. On Friday evenings at 7:30, this is again in the bulletin there, Friday evening at 7:30, we'll be joining regularly with the St. Basil community. They will be having the service called Pre-Sanctified Liturgy. It's a Eucharistic service where the bread and wine have already been consecrated at the previous Divine Liturgy. That is Friday evenings. We'll be doing that every Friday. The Roman Church, those of you from the Western tradition, this liturgy is celebrated in the West on Holy Friday or Good Friday at the very end.
Every Friday during Lent. call it
Medaya. No, I said, but in the Roman tradition, they do it once during Lent at the very end. But in the Eastern tradition, we do it usually throughout the great fast during the week. Okay, so Friday evening will be a special joy. You can come and celebrate with also the St. Basil community. With, if any of you have remembered doing that, it's always a great joy to hear their singing, different style of singing as well. Okay? And then, through all of Lent, let us glorify Jesus Christ with His eternal Father and His all-holy and good life-giving Spirit, both now and ever into ages of ages. Amen.